to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106 if you would like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. Joining us now on the line, very excited to bring on my next guest, friend of this program, friend of mine, but a very, very, very good public servant for the folks up in northeastern Alabama, State Senator Steve Livingston on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. How are you doing today? Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
I did. Hope you, except for Saturday, but other than that, no complaints. But we won't talk about that.
Saturday's this morning for a lot of folks. So, yes, sir.
Yeah, I got the opportunity to be at the game, and that was a very unique experience. Probably going to stick out more than the actual loss itself, the way the crowd kind of handled that whole episode. But anyway, enough of that. Senator, want to get you on. You have an expertise, let's say, on the way gas prices work, and particularly in the state. We talk a lot about this holiday driving season. Typically, when the weather gets a little cooler, they seem to go down. Not so much, but as far as that goes, what you're seeing out there, what do you make of this? Is it really federal government policy, or is there more to this than meets the eye?
Pricing where it's at today, it's kind of interesting. You know, the rack, the wholesale price since last year's election day has gone up by a dollar and a nickel a gallon more. What drives that? I think that the fear of what was coming to some degree, I think there's been a cutback of production of being able to refine in the United States, and we're having to rely more on offshore refining. At one point in time during the Trump administration, we were pretty much energy independent. I think there's a lot of things that probably changed hands in that. Maybe a little fear of where we're headed. Refining capacity or change in environmental laws. I think we've seen a reduction in production in the United States. Obviously, administration chose to close down the pipeline council and some, 11,000 jobs. We hit COVID-19 pretty quickly, and just, you know, there was no travel going on. So energy refiners had probably maxed the capacity of their pipelines and their tankage across the country and different pads. If the countryside divided in different pads. And I imagine if you look at the EIA reports, we had remarkable storage there, but the reflection of when you usually have low usage and high storage of a product, the price usually comes down, but in this instance it went up, so it's a little different. So there's a couple things you can point at there.
Well, coming out of COVID, how much of the shock is that prices were low because there just wasn't as much demand? And then coming out of COVID, demand goes up because people are more out and about than they were. They're not just leaving their car parked out in the driveway or whatever. But that's part of that's reason why the there's the sticker shock or whatever it might be that it is just we went from one extreme to the next to the other extreme.
It could be part of that for sure. You know, you got to think about. You're moving Americans across the country, across the world, more across the country, but they're not international, but, continental flights, they just basically ceased compared to where they are today. And I saw some recollection to the fact that airlines were within like 95% of where we were this time last year, pre-COVID, I should say, during the holiday season. So let's say pre-COVID.
And your expertise, you are a former operator of a gas station. You know how this works. You guys,
I'm a recovering distributor. The way they refine that,
recovering distributor. But there's the margins there are at that level, at that phase of the supply chain. They're very thin, right?
Very thin, yes, sir. They are very thin. A retailer operates on very amount of money, relies mostly on his inside ability. Sure does.
Yeah. So when the prices go up, it's not necessarily good for you guys at that level. Are you you guys at that level?
It's harder to react on the increase than it is on the decrease. So.
Yeah, well, it's interesting the way that whole it's not as simple as maybe some of our elected officials, particularly up in Washington D.C., make it out to be. There are all these other things, and how much of it is just the value of the dollar going down, and oil being based on the price or the value of the dollar not worth what it once was, and that sticker shock is a part of that as well.
That is true. In fact, there's been no real investment in the United States in refining capacities over the last number of years. They've chosen to oil producers, or not producers, but the companies have chosen to make investments probably offshore, overseas, and other places where it's easier to do business. Our environmental laws, Trump did relieve us with some of that, and I think that's probably what took the pressure off of gasoline when it from probably 2010 to today, and I don't remember exactly what those numbers were in 10, but took some pressure off of where we were in the early 2000s to where we ended up today.
But if you look at the way the Trump administration handled this, getting energy independent, I mean, he did a lot of the right things, and I know the market goes where the market's going to go, but you want to pave the way for the market, and then just coming right out of Trump's administration, the Biden administration, it's the leases, limiting pipeline construction, and just this, I think, this orthodoxy, this ideology that let's get away from fossil fuels and let's go towards something else. And if you had to pay more at the gas prices, we're using the market to influence behavior. That you can't deny that that's a big part of this, and we're not really talking about that maybe at that policy level.
It is a big part of this. I think in the 2007-08 category, we were wholesale costs were around $3 a gallon. They shrank back down to 9-10, got down around 2.50, and then back in 2011, they were back over $3, around $3.50 a gallon there, which cost for the year. So you saw a lot of price change in there. People get comfortable in a price cone. People have to have gasoline go back and forth to work, so they've got to be able to budget. So if gasoline gets them to work, they've got to figure out what they can do with the rest of their disposable income. And if that number shrinks and they're not able to do things, I think that's been the biggest expansion of our economy over the last, since Trump was elected, is that disposable income has become broader and people have been able to do more money with the money and spend and buy consumer goods. And that's driven the economy overall. As we see the price going back up and people have got to realize that they've got to go to work, then they're having to make these allocations back into their non-disposable income.
Well, and how much do you think that's going to hit the economy here at home? I mean, there's a lot of headwinds, and this is inflationary. I mean, maybe it's just not just at the gas pump, but it's a tax on commerce. It's a tax on people, and that's something that could, Alabama's kind of avoided the worst of the worst coming out of the pandemic or through this pandemic. But, at some point, these things all add up and they all pile on. And you had to kind of wonder what it means to the state here in general.
Well, the state, the country, as gasoline prices go higher, you have to get into the big cities. You got to get into New York City or you know, D.C. or Chicago or places like that that actually have mass transit. You know, we have limited mass transit in the South, Birmingham. Atlanta's got a pretty good transit system, but most areas in Alabama don't have a mass transit system. There's bus systems in the cities and all. So the higher gasoline prices impact are unfortunate more than they do the fortunate. And I'm not sure the current administration understands that or how big it is. I think it's bigger than they think it is. But in Alabama, you know, we all like to take our car to work. So. and we have to sometimes, right?
Right. Well, you know, we just don't, it's hard to get around the state on relying on any kind of public transit. It's just that it's just not a place that would lend itself to support any kind of mass transit. And I think sometimes Democrat leadership around the country just they operate in a bubble. Why not? Well, let's just build it. It just doesn't work that way. But anyway,
America's broad and vast, and it would be hard to put a mass transit system in Alabama for that. But yes.
Yeah, can you imagine trying to go from Scottsboro to Huntsville on the train? You know, you just can't do that anymore. Maybe at one time, but it was slow and cumbersome, and we don't operate that way anymore. Joined by State Senator Steve Livingston here on the program for a few more minutes. Senator, your colleague Greg Albritton, chairman of the General Fund, on here yesterday. The Rusty Glover was filling in for Sean Sullivan. And he said that he thinks, or I don't know, but he thinks that you guys in the legislature in this fourth year of a quadrennium coming up might take another shot at gaming. I don't know what it would look like or what it would be, but that seems like a very difficult proposition to me.
I heard that yesterday. Yes, sir. I understand that. I also think it'd probably be pretty difficult to take up. I think I understand Senator Albritton's thought process and the fact that it's been an, I think he uses, and it's been an education process to get people kind of educated as to what gaming is, where it is, what the nuances is, and what do we need to be doing different. And it's taken a number of years to get there. He says that we've got a number of folks that would, we're going to be a number of new House members coming and several senators. We don't know how many. We've got three retiring and maybe some that may not be reelected, and there'll be some challenges out there. So if you have to re-educate those, that may be a little more difficult to take up the first year of the quadrennium. So we'll see. There's been no bill introduced as of yet. So
what do you think the lessons are, if any? Do you try to do what you tried to do in 2020, or I mean in 2021, what you tried to do earlier this year? Do you do the comprehensive, or do you try to do it piecemeal? Is that even feasible? Is that even realistic? It seems like, I guess we got, tell me, do you think this is a correct statement, that we got as far along than we've ever been before on something, and if not just running out of time for the House of Representatives to come up with a response or competing alternative suggestion, then if you just had a little longer, you may have gotten there. But to me, you made more progress than you ever had before this year.
Yep, I think Senator Albritton's idea is to try to move along with what we got along last time and send it down the stairs to the House in plenty of time for them to look at it and let them do what they need to do to it. Both bodies are independent, and they can fix or what they think is fixed, and it might come back to the Senate. The Senate may kill it, so who knows?
Did you? Probably wasn't the perfect or the ideal bill, but what were your feelings on that?
An ideal bill?
Yeah.
If there's an ideal bill, I'm not sure there's ever been one created.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Would you just have to, you go with what you know you could get through, and then maybe hope the House comes up with something, and then kind of work from there? Would be the, if you were to take it up in 2022 or 2023, that would probably be the best approach.
I think in the Senate, you got to go back where you started, with the one you finished with last time around. So you get that and go from there. there's a number of our body members that would like to see the House start something. I don't know if they've got the ability to do that this year. I don't know if the leadership down there would take that up.
I mean, is this something that you think this you'll hear a lot about in this election cycle when we're picking new legislators or, you know, the constitutional offices that you look up and down the ballot and, you know, yes, you do have some holes to fill there, but do you think it's something that's going to be a campaign issue?
It could be a campaign issue. It certainly could. There's just a number of folks that are adamantly against gaming in any capacity. The lottery they'd love to see, but we have, you know, we have a number of places across Alabama that are operating under local constitutional amendments, and you know they're letting local district attorneys enforce those, and they're not enforcing those. I think the attorney general says that they're all illegal, but he's passing that due diligence down and won't enforce the laws. So you know we need a comprehensive way to control gaming in Alabama. Literally, you can do it on the internet, you can do it on your phone. It's happening today, it'll happen tomorrow. In numerous ways you can do it. It's there, it's available. My dad stopped by to share a little breakfast with me this morning, and we actually had saw a pretty vivid shooting star the other day when we were traveling somewhere. The other evening we were traveling somewhere. It looked like it's right on top of us, and I found a mirrored report today on AL.com, and I was showing him that too, and it was showing the little community down where it fell, and I won't say where it was. And he asked me where it was, and I said, well, let's Google it. We Googled it, and the first thing it popped up on the little map and showed us where the community was, but it's that little community center that was a bingo hall up there. And it's a Google map, so I zoomed in to Google Maps. I bet there were 75 cars sitting in that parking lot out in the middle of nowhere.
It's just a matter of getting a control on it in a way that is...
getting controls on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and if it's happening, we need... It's going to happen. We can't stop it. We can try our best to stop it with what we've got on the books, but we need to regulate it and make sure everybody comes into the market or just into the game at the same rate.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very kind to make time for us this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Hey, Jeff, thank you. Hope you have a great week, and look forward to talking to you again, okay?
We'll do so. That was State Senator Steve Livingston, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a break in here. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Would you please?